Hey, good morning. Mike Causey here. Welcome to Your Turn. Glad to have you with us. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And our shows, I remind you, are archived on our homepage. So if you can't listen or you want to listen again or get more depth or pass it on to a friend, they're archived on our homepage here. And today's show should be up about 11:30, shortly after we actually go off the air. Delighted to have Arthur Stein with me today as a guest. Art's been on the show a number of times. He is a certified financial planner. Did I get that right, Art?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, certified financial planner based in Bethesda, Maryland. And Art, before we get started, you've had such a fascinating career, and you normally you think of CPA as doing CPA things and CFA things, but you've been around.
I've been around, Mike. I have a bachelor's and a master's in economics, and I after I got my master's, I joined the Peace Corps. I was an economist for the government of Botswana for 2 years. I was in their Ministry of Finance. Then I went to Australia. I taught in a university there, and I came back here as a staff economist on the House Ways and Means Committee. And then I ran my own business for a while, and then I've been a financial planner, a certified financial planner, for about 24 years.
And Botswana, that is the country where the Gods Must Be Crazy movie was made?
The Gods Must Be Crazy was filmed in Botswana among the Bushmen.
Got to be one of the all-time greats. But anyhow, great background for this. And
thank
I
you.
Guess in some senses it is, since it is. It's had some written out questions here for you, but we talk about investing, which is, you know, the thrift savings plan. The TSP, according to the people who designed it, was designed to provide anywhere from one-third to one-half of the total income that federal retirees, people under the FERS system, would have in retirement. So it's vital to them to invest. This is a major component of their post-retirement income. It's important. People seem to have taken to it very well, high percentage of enrollment. A lot of people are putting the maximum amount of money in, but they're nervous right now. Now, last week, everything was coming up roses. This time last week, the media was looking at the financial information, and regardless of what was going on in the world, the Malaysia airline shoot down, all of these situations that were happening, the market was going great guns, and the Financial Times, the Washington Post, the New York Post, every media outlet reported that things were great. Those stories appeared in the Thursday edition last week of all of those newspapers, all those media outfits. But a funny thing happened on Thursday, and the market crashed. And now we're reporting we're going from euphoria to gloom and doom in 24 hours. And many people, and I parroted it as others did, but many people said all of the gains of 2014 were wiped out. And when I showed you those notes, you said, not quite.
Yeah, it's a more complicated situation than that. And first of all, let me say the media tends to extrapolate a lot, and things are rarely as bad or rarely as good as the media would lead you to believe. And that's in a lot of areas, certainly including investments and financial planning. The gains that were wiped out were for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The C fund and the TSP does not follow the Dow Jones in any way. The C fund and the TSP, which is a corporate stock fund or the common stock fund, is an S&P 500 index fund. And the S&P 500 index is 500 stocks. It's 500 of the largest companies in the United States, represents 70% of the U.S. stock market. The Dow Jones is only 30 stocks. It's a relic from the past. I don't see why anyone would pay any attention to it. And you can see how unusual it is. Year to date, without including dividends, the C fund and the S&P 500 are up 3.9% for the year. The Dow Jones is down 0.9% for the year. And so you have, you know, two completely different things going on. Another issue you have is whether those returns are being reported including dividends reinvested or not including dividends reinvested. And the figures I just gave you, S&P up 3.9%, Dow Jones down 0.9%, or without taking into account the dividends you would have received and reinvested had you owned the C fund. So the C fund is actually going to have done slightly better year to date than 3.9%. You know, when we started the year, people were very concerned because we had had a great year in 2013. C fund was up 32% as an example. And they would worry, people were worried for a variety of reasons that 2014 would be negative for stocks and for bonds, partly because 2013 was such a great year. People thought there would be a correction. More fundamentally, on average, the stock market declines about 10% every year on average, and it declines 20% on average about every 3 years. We haven't had a 10% decline for about 2.5 years. We haven't had a 20% decline for 6 years, you know, since 2008. So we're definitely due for a decline. Bond prices are historically high. People think they're going to come down. And, you know, there's lots of bad news out there. We've got wars in the Middle East, U.S. political gridlock, Federal Reserve reducing their stimulus program, which was expected to really hurt bonds. And since the year started, we've had more wars in the Middle East, the Ukrainian crisis, and the Argentina is defaulting. We've got Ebola in Africa. It's lots of bad news out there. But in spite of that, year to date, the C fund's up closer to 5.5%, and the F fund, which is a bond fund, is up over 4%. It's been a very good year. Now, July was very bad for all the funds. They were all negative in July except for the G fund. But if you start investing on July 1st for money you're going to spend on July 30th, then you know that was bad news for you. But your investments should be long-term in the TSP. You shouldn't worry about what happened in July, especially when year-to-date over the last 12 months, last 3, 5, and 10 years, all the funds have had positive rates of return.
Well, you know, as a total creature of the media and it being very math-challenged, as I suspect many people in the news business are, they may be good at a lot of things, but math is not their strong suit. People in newspapers and newsrooms around the country who are experts in math are highly prized because most of us aren't. That said, and kind of to follow up on what you said, the news has been bad for a long time. I mean, a Malaysia airline disappeared. Still don't know exactly what happened. The Russians have massed on the Ukraine border. They've annexed some of Ukraine's territory, which before that was Russian territory, but very complicated situation, as always, in that part of the world. You have different situations going on. You have the, as you said, the Argentine default, which I'm sure very few Americans, myself included, understand at all what that means, except that it's probably not good. You have the African Leadership Conference in Washington now. I have never seen security this tight in this city. Never. I mean, after 9/11, we did a lot of things, but the way they're blocking off the roads, and it tells me that somebody's expecting some trouble, you know, the way it's looking now. All this has happened, and the Malaysian plane is shot down over Ukraine. Whether the Russians did it, whether rebels did it, whether the Ukrainian government did it, we don't know. People have their suspicions. But this is not new. And yet, just in the news broadcast, just moments before we went on the air, the lady said that the market is reacting to the Russians massing on the Ukraine border. Well, got news for them. They've been there for months now. So what do you make of this?
First of all, part of it is, you know, a media problem. The need every day to say something meaningful about what happened in the stock markets if you're a financial reporter. So you're always going to hear the market went up or down or didn't do anything because of this, that, and the other. In fact, for short periods of time, a day, a week, a month, maybe even a year, movements in the stock market are pretty random, which is not to say that they're not outside influences. But it's pretty hard to say why things went up and down for a day. What moves the market over long periods of time is corporate earnings. When you own stocks, you own, you are part owner of a corporation, and you are eligible to receive part of the profits. And if that corporation's earnings do well, you can expect your investment to do well. Now, if you don't own individual stocks, if you own a mutual fund like the C fund or the S fund or the I fund, you may own a fund, but you're actually investing in stocks, and you benefit when corporate earnings do well. And long term, that's what's going to drive your investment up or down.
Magic word is corporate earnings. Lauren Larson, our producer, is giving me the mini hook here. We'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM.
Here's Eric Simmons, systems expert at the Electronic Information Group at NIST, on Building the Hybrid Cloud, sponsored by Red Hat.
Well, I think the key to governance in the cloud is that you've made things much more complex, and it's shared responsibility. So where you implement your own data center, you're fully responsible from the top down to the bottom for the governance of that system. When you go to the cloud, you're sharing that responsibility.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
It's a fact. Cloud computing is the next frontier for government agencies. Red Hat helps lay a solid foundation for you to build and manage private cloud infrastructure as a service using truly open, interoperable products that won't lock you in. With Red Hat, you manage the VMware systems you already have, mix in a low-cost, open-source VMware alternative, build your own cloud based on Red Hat's open stack, and connect it to public clouds. More choice, lower costs, and more innovation. Visit redhat.com/govcloud. redhat.com/govcloud.
When it comes to federal IT networks, it's time to say goodbye to the status quo and start a new conversation about the network. Join government IT and the industry experts at the 2014 Federal Forum as they share their insights and best practices on how to implement and manage federal agency networks of tomorrow. The 2014 Federal Forum. Presented by Meritalk and Brocade, August 13th at the Ronald Reagan Building. Register today for this complimentary event at federalforum2014.com.
Runners, do you need a race slot for the Army 10-miler? Join Team Fisher House to become a champion for military families and get a guaranteed slot at this year's race. Fisher House secured a limited number of race slots exclusively for their supporters. Do more to show your support of the military than by saying thanks for your service. Take action. Join the team to make a real difference in the lives of service members, veterans, and their families when they need it during a medical crisis. Register today at teamfisherhouse.org/ATM.
Just how secure is your data and your network, and how efficient are your IT operations? Splunk can help provide the answers that are keeping federal IT decision makers and managers awake at night. Proven at hundreds of federal agencies, Splunk software transforms machine data into real-time insights. Defend against cybersecurity risks. Reduce IT operational costs. Download Splunk, listen to your data, and get some rest. Learn more about the company that everyone is talking about at splunk.com/public sector. Brought to you by Splunk and Carahsoft.
Federal News Radio and Ackerman Security Systems Community Spotlight is the Alzheimer's Association, the brains behind saving yours. More than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. Everyone is at risk, even you. Everyone can help, especially you. Do one little thing to make a difference. Call for information, advocate, donate, volunteer. Every action matters because together they add up to something big. Better support today and a breakthrough in your lifetime. Visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Arthur Stein. He is a certified financial planner based in Bethesda. Art, can you give your call sign or email?
Yeah, my website is www.arthursteinfinancial.com. I have a blog on my website where I write about various financial issues, and I also have a newsletter that I send out. If you want to be on my newsletter, you can email me at art@arthursteinfinancial.com and just ask to be put on my email list. And I would also send out, I do workshops about 3-4 times a year, and I would send invitations.
Okay, it's interesting. I know several people just unrelated to any of this who are clients of yours. So it's interesting. I know you're out there. Yeah, we took before the break, we were talking about corporate earnings, or you were talking about that was the important thing. That's the thing to watch. And I'm thinking immediately of General Motors, and I have a dog in this fight. I have a 2007 Cobalt that was recalled, and among other things, they said these cars can, the ignition can switch off, the airbags won't work, and I'm thinking, what if I'm on the Beltway when this happens? And it was a long-running problem that they only notified people about either late last year or early this year. As I recall, the fine the government imposed on them seemed whopping, but I remember hearing, reading something like it amounted to one day's income. I don't know if that's income or profit, but it almost doesn't matter. It's not much money, but one day's something for General Motors. So that wouldn't scratch it, would it? Maybe it, the image, but not the...
Yeah, I mean, it hurts their image, and you know, certainly some of the bank fines have been large enough to have reduced their profits, but those banks continue to be profitable. But, you know, the point is that when the stocks you own through the C fund and through the S fund and through the I fund, it's those earnings of those stocks that drive the price, the share price of those funds up or down. And if the earnings are doing well, then you can expect long term to get a good rate of return. And earnings can continue to increase, you know, indefinitely. And that's what's made stocks a good long-term investment.
Got two questions for you. One came in by email and one called it. And I'm having trouble formulating the latter question. I understand what he wants to know, but I'm having trouble articulating it. But I will think as we go along. But one lady simply said, I'm retiring this year. What do I do with my TSP? Now, you know, a lot of factors there, her age, her possible longevity, her financial status. But, you know, assuming she's 61, which I think is what the average federal worker retires at, somebody's retiring, what should they do? Where should they be now?
Okay, well, first of all, if you're retiring at 61 or 65 or even 70, you have to keep in mind that you could have a very long retirement. I mean, lots of us are going to live to 95 or 100. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's 100% or 80%, but you need to plan for that, because if you're one of the people who live that long life, you want to have enough money to last a long time. And it means that part of your investments in the TSP is money that you're going to need to spend 20, 30 years from now. And over those long periods of time, 15, 20, 30 years, stocks have outperformed bonds by a significant amount, and it makes stocks a very good investment. Now, the money that you need to withdraw from your investments and spend the first year, second, first 5 years, first 10 years, you would want to handle that differently, because you don't want to have to like sell investments when the stock market is down. So it's a question of saying, how old am I? How long might I live? But also, very important, when do I need to start taking money out of my investments to live on? And how much am I going to be taking out each year? And your allocation is going to depend upon that.
Yeah, because the old line used to be, make sure your last check bounces. Ha, ha, ha. But the next question is, how long? When will that be?
Yeah,
how long
are you going to live? Was just, you know, people wrote books about that, yeah, saying you should plan your investments so you spend the last dollar on your day you mm-hmm. die. But you don't know yeah. when you're going to die. And, you know, if even if you were planning it perfectly, if you saw your investments declining to zero every single year, even if you thought it was going to hit when you died, you would be so miserable. You would be so miserable.
Well, there you go. And to toss in something here from kind of off the wall, but as part of the, I think, investment strategy and gift to your family strategy, long-term care insurance. I assume you're a fan of that.
I'm a big fan of long-term care insurance. Yeah, I think it's really essential for most people who are middle class, upper middle class, and even wealthy, because the expenses of needing long-term care potentially are so high that they are catastrophic. And for federal employees and retirees, they have a great retirement plan, which would, in most cases, allow them to have a very comfortable retirement unless they need significant amounts of long-term care. And, you know, in this area, you could easily spend $140,000 a year on long-term care. Average cost of nursing homes in this area is over $100,000. Most of us are not going to be able to pay that year after year without severely depleting our assets.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to me as a gift to your family, your children. And
well, that's the other thing is it means that your family doesn't have to take care of you. You can hire people to do it if you're at home, and everyone's going to feel much better.
Yeah, my mother started in the government as a GS-2 back in the day, a clerk typist kind of thing for the Army, and wound up about 13 or 14, which, as they said in those days, was very good for a woman. But she was also under the Civil Service Retirement System, and when she developed dementia in her last years, she had extremely good care based on Social Security, her civil service retirement, and long-term care that she purchased, and it was a gift to the family. So
yeah, it makes a huge difference, and emotionally, it's much better for everybody.
Yeah. It was so interesting when you mentioned that 2013 was such a good year, and if we had nothing but 2013 and it just coasted, things would be fine. I think people forgot that. And you said that the C fund was up 32%.
Yeah, and you know, the way I look at it, you know, if the C fund was up 32% in 2013, and suppose it was zero for all of 2014, well, it would make the 2-year average 15% a year, and we would all be very happy with a 15% a year increase in one of our funds. Problem that people have with the stock market, they don't realize how lumpy the returns are. You might get 32% 1 year and then get close to zero for a couple of years and then still have a great 3-year return. But it means you have to be in the market, and that's why market timing is difficult to impossible. And market timing is, you know, putting your money in and out of the stock market, in and out of the C and the S and the I fund based upon what you think is going to happen in the future. It just doesn't work because, one, you really don't know when the market is going to go up and down. And if you've pulled the money out before it goes down, when it goes down, it never seems like a good time to reinvest.
Well, yeah, well, that's it. Everybody
and we
knows.
Saw that in 2008 and 2009. The market took a huge hit. And people who had pulled their money out didn't put their money back in when it bottomed out.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were in at 2005, 6, 7, and then suddenly the market hits 2008, 2009, or terrible years, if you were buying in those days, regularly buying through payroll deduction, you were getting it at bargain prices, presumably.
Yeah. I mean, if you kept investing, but even if you just held your money, you know, say you're retired, the 10-year average annual return over the last 10 years for the C fund has been 7.4% a year. And that included the biggest market decline since the Great Depression. Well, still over a 10-year period, you had a positive, significantly high rate of return, a rate of return that was higher than the F fund and the G fund. And over the last 5 years, it averaged 18%. Over the last 3 years, it averaged 16%. You know, just staying in historically has been a great way to invest in the stock market if you're in a well-diversified portfolio. And if you're in the C fund, and even you're in a well-diversified portfolio of U.S. stocks, and if you're in the C and the S and the I fund, then you're in a well-diversified portfolio of the entire U.S. stock market and international stocks. So it's easy to do in the TSP.
Right, and one way to do this, I guess, is through those target funds, the target date funds?
Well, the target date funds are a way to gradually make your portfolio more conservative over time. And the problem that I have with that is, you know, let's go back, Mike, to the example, the person who called in who's going to retire at maybe 62. If she's at that point in the target date fund that's the income fund because she's retired, so she'd want to be in the income fund, it means that 74% of her investments are in the G fund, which is going to lose purchasing power after you take into account taxes and inflation. Another 6% is in the F fund, and only 20% are in the stock funds. Well, that's okay for a short-term investment, money you're going to need in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but it's not a good allocation for money you're going to need in 10, 20, 30 years.
You brought in some excellent bullet points here. In the time remaining, let me just exit, and if you'd sort of go over these.
Sure. Well, let me just say that there's always bad news out there. There's always scary stuff happening. What should investors do? I think that you shouldn't worry about so much about short-term trends. You have to make sure you do the basics. And the basics are, one, you have to determine the percentage that you should have in stocks and bonds. And remember, the funds in the TSP own stocks and bonds. And that's determined by when you're going to need the money, how much, and your ability to withstand fluctuations in your investments. You need to diversify the portfolio among different types of stocks and bonds. You want to make sure you don't act with emotion. You don't want to buy high when things are going great and then sell when things are going poorly. And that's what most people tend to do. And I think that you'd be better off if you just admitted to yourself that you probably should get help from a professional to do these things, because most people don't do it well.
Right. I mean, emotion is such a big part of it. And they hire someone like you or a financial advisor or planner to sort of remove that. And
yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I do for my clients is make sure they don't buy just because the market has gone up, and certainly make sure they don't sell because the market's gone down. I want to make sure that we determine the right allocation for their investments, and we stick with that through good times and bad, and that we make adjustments. You know, if the stock market goes way up, we might at that point own too much in terms of stock mutual funds and want to reallocate some to the bonds. So I keep track of that for them.
Okay, Arthur Sine, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. We're going to take a short break here on federalnewsradio.com, and we'll be back in a minute talking with Andy Medici from the Federal Times.
And now it's time for another FedGuard Factor, career essentials for federal employees.
You know professional liability protection is important in today's federal workplace. So ask yourself this question. Is it better to have it and not need it, or need it and not have it? When you consider legal fees can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, why risk it? The FedGuard protection is less than $300 a year, and it provides you with a knowledgeable attorney and covers the legal fees, too. Don't go it alone.
Learn more at FedGuard.com. That's FedGuard.com.
When it comes to security, why have so many of your neighbors chosen Ackerman Security Systems? They researched the others, and here's why they chose Ackerman. Nationally recognized UL and CSAA 5 Diamond certified monitoring for just $18.95 a month. The only company with guaranteed response time. Free to switch your existing service. Experts in security for over 40 years. So start saving today and make the switch to Ackerman's $18.95 rate. And backed by popular demand in August, up to 6 months monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or learn more at AckermanSecurity.com.
And while you can't always be home, you can stay connected anytime, anywhere with Ackerman's Total Connect. It lets you control locks, thermostats, and lighting remotely with a tap on your smartphone or tablet. So remember to take advantage of the special extended offer. Switch to Ackerman Security in August and get up to 6 months monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
How is the Defense Health Agency changing the way DoD delivers health care? What are some of the key challenges faced in restructuring such a complex system? How is DHA transforming its health information technology portfolio? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Lieutenant General Douglas Robb, Director, Defense Health Agency. Tune in on Mondays at 11 a.m. for the Business of Government Hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Every department within an agency is a service provider, yet few have matured the service model to the level of the IT department. While service relationships are well-defined and automated within IT, they are often manual and inefficient in other domains. Tune in on Thursday, August 7th at 9 a.m. to hear executives from the U.S. Postal Service, Department of Energy, ServiceNow, and Booz Allen Hamilton discuss how they leveraged IT service solutions to enable their businesses in new and impactful ways. Thursday, August 7th at 9 a.m., sponsored by ServiceNow. This hour of news is brought to you by Boeing, delivering the enduring capability and value of the FA-18 Super Hornet to the United States Navy, on schedule and on budget.
This week, Federal News Radio interviews the winners of the 2014 Causey Award for Excellence in Human Capital Management. Learn how these federal managers have inspired significant changes to their agency's culture and find out what amazing accomplishments and hidden talents they revealed as we honor this year's winners. The 2014 Causey Award winners join the Federal Drive's Tom Temin and Emily Kopp and In-Depth's Francis Rose mornings and afternoons at 8 minutes past the hour this week on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Mike Causey here. Welcome back to your turn. I suffered from premature evacuation just a moment ago. we're kicking Art Stein off before his time. So, Art, glad we got a few more minutes because I really wanted to ask you this. In the media, we the sports media, we're supposed to explain things to people. We're supposed to not treat them like they're dummies, but give them some basic understanding. I think areas where we really fall down in that are in financial reporting and in sports. And in sports, for instance, of course, you assume the audience knows and cares, but the golf terms that are used freely on radio and television and newspapers, people who don't play golf don't get it. And maybe they'd like golf if they got it. The same with tennis, this kind of thing. Switching over to the financial world, we talk about ups and downs and Dow Jones this. And as you pointed out, you said you think the Dow Jones is ancient history, and as far as a measurement of doing things, in the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, we've got various different funds: C, S, F, G, and then the market target funds. And I think a lot of times people sort of blithely talk about these, and they don't explain what they are. So what is the C fund? What is the S fund?
Okay. The four basic funds in the TSP, the G fund's an exception. I'll leave that aside. Talk about it if we have time. But the F and the C and the S and the I fund are all what are called index funds, which means the TSP board has chosen a certain index of stocks or bonds, and the people who manage those funds in the TSP are just trying to match what those indexes own. So the C fund is an S&P 500 index fund. It's 500 of the largest companies in the United States, and it's put together by Standard & Poor's. And that represents about 70% of the U.S. stock market by value. The S fund, which is called the small cap fund, is really medium and small size companies, and it's almost all the other stocks in the U.S. stock market that are not covered by the C fund. So if you buy the C and the S, you own basically all the publicly traded stocks in the United States. The I fund is an international stock fund. It's mainly developed countries. It's mainly large companies. But it's, a good international index fund. And the F fund is a Barclays bond index fund. It's all types of bonds, excluding municipal bonds. So when you're buying the C and the S and the I and the F fund, what you're buying is stocks and bonds, but you own them through these funds. And it's very important to keep in mind, and it's very important to know what percentage you have in stocks and bonds. Now, the G fund is, they say it's invested in U.S., certain types of U.S. bonds. To me, it's just like a savings account with a fabulous rate of return, because it has a much higher rate of return than you could ever get on a savings account or a money market fund, but it does not fluctuate in value. A bond fund does fluctuate in value, and you saw that last year when the F fund was down, I think it was 1.8%, and the G fund was positive. The G fund never fluctuates in value. It only goes up. The only question is, how much is it going to go up? So for your money that you want to be super safe, for instance, if you want an emergency fund, the G fund is a great place for an emergency fund.
But as you point out, super safe isn't always super safe, because inflation is the problem over time. So you may put all your money in the G fund and it's not going to lose. It's not going to have a bad day. But it, in addition to not losing, you want it to keep at least keep pace.
Yeah, I should explain that better, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Mike. Mm-hmm. When I say safe, I mean there's no volatility. Right. It's not going to fluctuate in value. Where it's risky is what's going to happen after taxes and inflation. And what's going to happen is the G fund is going to lose purchasing power. So the money that you leave in there for long periods of time, every year it's losing a little purchasing power, and that really accumulates. And this is also true of any bank accounts that you have, be it a money market fund or a savings account. They lose purchasing power. So if you have too much in an emergency fund, it's going to cut the returns on your portfolio.
Could you talk a little bit about the Roth that's now available to federal workers through the TSP, the Roth IRA? This is the one, in case people don't know, where you put money in and you already pay taxes on it. So whatever you earn and whatever you put in, once you take it out, is tax-free.
Yeah, you now have a choice with your TSP contributions. They can go into a Roth TSP or the regular TSP, and this is only for your personal contributions. The matching money from the government's always going to go into the regular TSP. The Roth TSP, the money you put in there, you don't get a tax deduction. Does not reduce your taxable income. But when you take the money out, there's no tax on it. So especially for younger workers who are in a lower tax bracket and have many decades for the money to compound and increase, they're foregoing a tax on a smaller amount of money today to avoid a tax on a much larger amount of money that they would withdraw 30, 40, 50 years from now.
Right, because a lot of people think the taxes, they're not going to be lower over the years.
They could be higher, but again, you know, that's why I say for younger workers, it's an easier calculation, because they're in a lower tax bracket, presumably because they're making less. And when they're older and making more, like your mother going from a GS-2 mm-hmm. to a 13, all of a sudden they're in a much higher tax bracket. And even when they start taking the money out, they're probably going to be in a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, I think when many people say I have a million-dollar 401k plan, a TSP, and I'm sure they do, and more power to them, but it's not going to be $1 million when they...
It's not $1 million to spend. It's more like $600,000 to spend, because when you take the money out, you're going to have to pay taxes
on
it.
Yeah, even at that lower rate. Yeah. In years past, haven't heard anything lately, but in years past, been a lot of pressure on the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, the people that run the TSP, to open it up to other investments. And this would be a godsend, a gold mine for these places. But one of them is gold funds, one of the precious metal funds, NASDAQ funds, REITs, real estate investment trusts. You haven't heard that lately because gold has been going down. REITs, everybody said real estate was untouchable. Can you say 2008, 2009? Yeah. So, but as your point, I guess, in talking about the C and the S funds, is if you own those, you own all of those things, don't you? You own some REITs and you own some precious metals.
You might own some REITs, but you wouldn't own a lot of REITs. And REITs are real estate investment trusts and invest in real estate and mortgages and various things like that. I am not in favor of opening it up to new funds, because mm-hmm. then I'm worried that there'll be all kinds of new funds coming in.
And they come in for political reasons.
And they come in for political reasons, and they tend to come in, and they always want to put them in after they've, you know, gone up a tremendous amount. Yeah. It's another way to buy high.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
When gold did great, they wanted to have a gold fund, and when mm-hmm. real estate was huge, they wanted to have a real estate fund. And there are various other things like this, commodities funds. One of the reasons the TSP works so well is it's so simple.
Yeah.
There are only five funds plus the L funds. And I realize that, you know, things change, but I personally do not see the need for other funds.
Well, and as you and others have said, too, the administrative fees are so low. Arthur, this time for sure.
You sure I'm out of here?
Bid you adieu, and we will see you again soon. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Andy Medici from the Federal Times. Thank you.
Here's Rick Walsh, Mobility Lead, U.S. Army, on the Federal Executive Forum on Mobility and Government, sponsored by HP.
I have to reduce time to value. So we're working with Samsung, we're working with Apple, we're working with the vendors who produce these devices and hardware to reduce time to value. That is, they will give me a product that's ready for me to use the same day it's commercially ready to use. We're not there yet, but that's what we're working towards. That's our biggest challenge right now.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Mobility is the way citizens want to interact with you, which makes your ability to deliver the information they need through mobile technologies imperative. It must be an integral part of your digital transformation plan as your IT enterprise becomes the face you present to your citizens. HP helps by putting the go back in government, streamlining your operations to empower your mission, making you more efficient, more secure, and better connected. Learn more at hp.com/gov/mobility.
This is John Gilroy from Fed Tech Talk. Wanted to tell you about a local company that has had a national impact on airline safety. For the past three decades, Electromech has worked with federal agencies to make sure aircraft wiring is safe and reliable. Electromech is responsible for testing, inspecting, and analyzing a wide range of electrical wire interconnect systems. For a white paper on addressing fleet management needs, please visit electromech.com. That's electromec.com.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
Join us Sunday, August 10th. RJ Cooper will be in studio talking about his latest concept, Gypsy Soul. And Vin de Provence will also join us talking about the delicious rosé wine.
That's Foodie and the Beast this coming Sunday and every Sunday at 11 right here on 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Thorn.
Profile America, Wednesday, August 6th. Today is one of America's more obscure and unusual commemorations. It's National Fresh Breath Day, even if it's not recognized by the greeting card industry. The idea is to make people aware that having fresh breath is part of overall health and wellness, and that the solution to bad breath, technically known as halitosis, can be relatively simple. Sometimes chronic bad breath can be a symptom of a serious illness. Mostly, it's one of life's most personal problems and has an impact on social and workplace relationships. The problem is stressed in advertising for a variety of products, and Americans spend a lot of money to achieve fresh breath. Mouthwashes, for example, are part of the nearly $32 billion a year industry making various toiletries. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Join the Capital Exchange Wednesday, August 13th from 2 to 3 p.m. for a free webinar on the future of IT, brought to you by ServiceNow. Learn how CIOs can enable the service-oriented enterprise while also earning continuing education credits. Capital Exchange, a collaborative webinar series, connects government with the private sector to spur conversations around issues of the day. Register now at federalnewsradio.com/webinar.
Federal News Radio's Mike Causey is on Twitter. Follow him at MCauseyWFED for his latest columns covering federal pay, benefits, and retirement. At MCauseyWFED.
Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. Just had a nice chat with Arthur Stein, and now we're going to move over to Andy Medici. Andy is a senior writer with the Federal Times and a pretty regular visitor here on the show. Andy, are you with us?
Always good to be on, Mike.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Even though it's August, the doldrums of August, there's still some stuff going on and a number of things to talk about today. The VA bill, the bill that to make life better for veterans, the Veterans Administration, make it better for veterans by making it maybe tougher for some employees and some members of the senior executive service. Has that been signed?
The president's expected to sign it tomorrow, actually. So that means that it will become law. And you're right, for a lot of federal employees, mostly senior executives, it's going to take away some of those job protections, streamline that process, and make it easier to remove them for poor performance or essentially for almost any reason, but they would only have sort of a month through that process before they can be removed.
Right, and was Carol Bonacero was our guest last week, and she is president of the Senior Executives Association. Of course, they represent the career SES members, the 7,000 plus career members, and she was concerned about a number of things, that they were going to shorten the getting to know period, the kind of a joke or a humorous title, but this is the period when a political appointee comes in and he or she must wait a certain period of time, I think it's 120 days, before they can take action against or move around a member of the senior executive service. Has that been changed?
It's not so much about it's really about being able to remove them. Essentially, you remove them immediately, and they have a week to appeal, and then you have the month. So it's actually you can put them out right away.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that people are upset about.
Well, and I guess the concern of some, certainly the SEA, is that you've got VA now. IRS is having problems with personnel and career versus political appointees. Secret Service has had problems. Homeland Security has had problems. I guess the question is, who's next?
Well, that's what a lot of people are worried about, that this sort of reform is the thin edge of the wedge when it comes to civil service protections. And you're right, you know, we've had problems at other agencies, GSA, IRS, and others, and sometimes the response is legislation that removes some of those job protections. Of course, before, that legislation hasn't passed, but in this case it's going to, and people are worried that that could expand into the rest of the SES or into the civil service as a whole.
You know, I talked not long ago with Jessica Clement from the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, and she had been, before she joined NARF, she had been lobbyist for the Federal Managers Association, but she knows her stuff. She did the legislative conference this year at the FDR, the Federal Dispute Resolution Conference, which was held in San Francisco, and she said that people kept coming up to her again and again, these people being federal workers who were attending the conference, and the question they said was, why do they hate us? And the they being Congress and the they being politicians. Do you get that sense, because I know you're up on the Hill and around, that some members of Congress hate civil servants or they hate the bureaucracy?
Hate is an interesting word. You know, a lot of lawmakers are definitely solidly against a lot of the protections, the pay, and against what they would definitely call sort of a cumbersome bureaucracy. And I have never heard a congressman use the word hate, mm-hmm. but it can definitely come across that way, because a lot of congressmen spend a lot of their time talking about federal employees and not in the nicest terms possible. And the legislation, you know, it's less about words really and more about actions. And I think that's what federal employees are more attuned to, because even though there are attacks on federal employees, they've gone through periods where that's been in similar cases, but it's really the constant stream of legislation, of budget cuts directed at their pay, their benefits, their agencies, at government as a whole. And I think that a lot of federal employees are tuned into that and are wondering what on earth is going on.
I remember a dozen years or so ago, a leading member of the House, one in the leadership, referred to federal agents of a particular agency as jackbooted thugs, and yet a couple of months later, an assassin broke into the Capitol, tried to assassinate this particular person, and at least one member of the Capitol Police Force was killed defending him. I didn't hear any reversal, but I think that would come, I'll come pretty close to hating jackbooted thugs.
Yeah, and you know, we do sometimes hear that, and especially when it comes
Landy, to... Landy, we lose you? Remember, we're having some technical difficulties today. Apologize to you and to Andy Medici from the Federal Times. Our show will be complete on the Internet. You can tune in anytime. We're archived on our page. And we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Meantime, have a good week.